Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy, Will T.
Am I
nobody can hear you, dude. You late. Nobody can hear you. And the homie Will T.
I'm in the building.
Now we in the building. Yeah, and the homie Will T. Hey. Hey, Ray Jeezy, what's good, my man?
Strive for greatness, not lateness. You saw it on Twitter. Will T has failed us 2 weeks in a row.
Nah, Will trying to put his headsets on right now, so we still trying to get him situated. But again, there, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene again on Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. But yeah, man, it's been a what's good though, Ray? You know, we've been doing some oh, damn.
Okay, so let me give the people update to my basketball journey. I played basketball again for a second week in a row, and there was slight improvements. Made a few layups, shot a few more jump shots, so I'm feeling better about myself. Second week in a row, I've been on a winning team at this at this gym that Wole has graciously allowed me to play some ball with him at, and yeah, I'm excited about that. So I'm going to keep on exercising, keep on getting in shape, and redefine what men in their 40s should look like. Right, Wole?
Exactly, man.
Like Anthony Peterson.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Anthony Peterson, a teenage body.
Exactly, man. Don't be content. You know, strive for greatness, dude. Don't be content. What's good, Will T? What's going on with you, my man?
Tired, but I'm here.
You're tired? I feel you, man. I'm tired, too, bro. I feel you, bro. I feel you.
People need to hear my voice, need to hear my taste.
Tell them why, man. Tell them why you have people, you know, talking to Will T stuff. Like George was shooting you out like was last week.
I mean George, like my brother from another mother. You know, we think similarly. You know, we're on the same kinetic wavelength. So you know, but I'm here though, man. I'm excited to do the show with you brothers, and let's get into it.
Yeah, man, let's get into it. Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by US Today insider Mike Jones. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Do you think we'll get a chance to do like some cross promotional with Mike Jones and John Kime? You know, they come on our podcast, we go on their podcast. You think that's possible?
I'm gonna read some more.
Just asking the question.
I know, I feel you. Do I think it's possible?
Yeah.
Ask me when we're not recording.
Okay.
Okay. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health and DMV region. Just download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows, as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene. Like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about a Washington Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio's controversial tweets at 8:20. We'll talk about the NBA Finals matchup between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Finally, in our segment HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with Howard University football coach Larry Scott.
Little Dubs.
Little Dubs.
Yeah, I listened to the interview.
Little Dubs, my man. You, look
I
at
told you.
You,
man. I support it.
I feel you, bro.
You sent me the link.
I know, man. That's what I'm talking about.
But first, it's Commander Slander time on the Urban Sports Scene. Jack Del Rio, everyone heard Washington defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio's comments that in which he was fined for $100,000 following controversial tweets on the Capitol insurrection on January 6th. Del Rio, of course, deleted his Twitter account not too long after. Was that the right move? We'll see what you think.
I mean, I can go on about this subject, but I'm going to say, no, I mean, like, I think this is an interesting subject because it opens us up to
freedom of speech,
freedom of speech and, you know, cancel culture and how divisive we are at this moment as a country, right? Where it's either agreed. If I don't agree with you, then you're wrong. And not only should you you're wrong, but you should
shame me. Try to shame.
I'll shame you. Yeah. I'll try to cancel you. I'll try to take some type of monetary gains from you, or take money from you.
Uh-huh.
But was he so? I guess Ron Rivera came out today, and I'm going to answer the question right. I'm just giving some context.
I'll read that for you. What he said, Ron Rivera said today.
Go ahead.
Ron Rivera said today, this is not about the fact that he exercised his right to free speech. This is about him impacting the football team. I believe in the First Amendment very strongly, but the thing we all have to understand with these rights, these freedoms, come with tremendous responsibility, and have to understand that as well. This is about the impact that was made on our football team, the distraction it's a very serious question and topic, but at the end of the day, it did impact us, and that's what I did.
Let me ask you this. If a player comes out and says, I don't know, week one, we're going to beat Jacksonville, and it gets national press or national pub, or a player on the defense comes out and says Trevor Lawrence is trash, mm-hmm. right? That's causing a distraction. Do you think that said player would be fined for that?
No, not at all.
Okay, so his reason for fining Jack Del Rio is total bullshit, right? I'm saying that. I apologize. it's bull. Mm-hmm. Saying that he was fined because of his distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Why he was fined was because, in my opinion, is because the reaction that he got from Twitter on his comments.
ESPN.
And then also because most people don't believe that the January 6th riots or insurrection was a dust up compared to the Black Lives Matter protest in the summer of 2020.
Comparing to protests,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's total BS. I don't agree with his comments, but also I do agree that people have their right to say what they want within reason,
mm-hmm.
right? As long as you aren't endangering anyone, and you also had a right to be wrong, which Jack Del Rio was, in my opinion. So I understand the aspect or the perspective that Ron Rivera is taking, that this is a distraction for our team, you know, considering that you have the NFL commissioner almost likely to go to Capitol Hill and testify because they've asked about the workplace culture of NFL teams,
uh-huh.
Specifically the Washington Commanders and Daniel Snyder, everything they've gone through. Then you also have this team changing their name. Then you also have other things in the news. So I understand why he did it, but I think the reason that he gave us as a general public is total BS.
Right.
Will T summed it up nicely, and I totally agree in terms of cancel culture. We've had these discussions before. What I will say is a lot of times when people do tweet or they post on social media, they're looking for a reaction, correct?
Yeah.
We're looking for people to respond. So I think Jack Del Rio knew what his intentions were, but unfortunately, I don't think he knew the blowback was going to be what it was, especially with the players. So I believe that there's sincere regret. I don't believe Jack Del Rio is racist. I just believe he has a certain viewpoint, and I'm okay with that because, again, we don't have to agree. Just like Will T said, I don't fully disagree with Ron Rivera either. It is a distraction, and it's one that this team and this organization simply doesn't need. That's how I'm going to sum it up. This team needs to perform on the field because you know what? When they struggle, the criticism is going to be, see, our defensive coordinator is not working on plays. He's working on bull BS politics.
Yeah.
And this is a football team, and it's never a focus on football with this team. That's the biggest problem that I have, and I agree with Ron Rivera from that standpoint. However, Ron Rivera is reactionary all the time. It's never proactive. It's always reactive. Rolay, you said that last week. I'm stealing your thunder, brother, but that's all I got on this.
Yeah, that's my issue, too. Yeah, you said it, but it's the truth, though. Like, that's my issue. He's reactive, not proactive, because if you've been on Twitter for the last couple seasons with Del Rio, he's been consistent. This has been him.
And who he is.
This is who he has been.
And his beliefs,
but he's been tweeting this heavily, right? So my thing is that, like you said, Will, the reason why my issue with it is that, dude, you only did something because not even Twitter, like this what ESPN it went national. Basically, these tweets went national because if you paid attention to it, people have always came out and said certain things about his tweets. I'm with you, Will. Like, you know, people, you can be wherever you are, where the line stands or whatever. But at the same time, like, dude, like, you only said anything or punished this individual because it got national media. And also, with all the things you mentioned, Will, all the things you mentioned about Snyder, Goodell, about, you know, in terms of going to the house and, like, and the whole image of the team at this particular point in time, it wasn't that you did it, like, because you just, oh, you know what, I'm sick of, like, this one time. You had your opportunity. You just did it because of the attention it garnered.
Okay, I want you. Could you do me one favor, Wole? Sure, yeah. Could you reread his release?
Sure, I can reread.
Before I make my next comment.
All right, sure. Hold on. Let me pull it up right now. All right, here we go again. This is not about the fact that he exercised his right to free speech. This is about him impacting the football team. I believe in the First Amendment very strongly, but the thing we all have to understand with these rights, these freedoms, come tremendous responsibility, and we have to understand that as well. This is about the impact that was made on our football team, the distraction it has become. It's a very serious question and topic, but at the end of the day, it did impact us, and that's why I did what I did.
Distraction, right? That I guess that's the key word in that statement. That I, you know, freedom of speech, yada yada yada, but distraction. Yeah. The main onus is on distraction. Okay. Yeah. If he says distraction, then they had mini camp today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was listening to a lot of the interviews. You know, I had a long drive to get to here today to get here, longer than usual.
So
one of the things that questions that I noticed that was asked throughout, you know, the players, specifically in the wide receiver group, was the impact of Terry McLaurin not being there.
Yeah.
That's a distraction.
Yeah.
So are you, Ron Rivera, as the football czar, going to fine yourself for not taking care of Terry McLaurin's contract?
About a second, it's not Terry's fault. Yeah, okay, yeah,
because it's not Terry's fault that he isn't there. Are you going to fine yourself as the football czar, the guy who's ahead of all football operations, because you didn't take care of you and your front office didn't take care of Terry McLaurin's contract before minicamp, which forced him to skip minicamp?
Yeah.
Is he going? So that's why I say it's total BS to me.
Well, my thing is, like, if he was a player, like it shouldn't have took him that long to be. My issue was it shouldn't have took him that long to tell, hey, say, dude, get off Twitter. Like, just get off Twitter. Like, it shouldn't have took him that long. That's my issue. Like, don't wait till, because it was a distraction to a certain point, but don't wait till the end of the, like, wait till this point when he went national. Because if it was a player, you would have told him to shut up. Like, you would have told him early. Like, you could have stopped this earlier. Like, he was doing this, like, for a minute. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm not about beliefs. I don't care about your beliefs, because everybody's entitled to their beliefs. I'm not about canceling somebody, to be real with you. Ray knows that. I ain't about that. But there are things as a distraction to your team and what your team's trying to do. Especially, let's be real. Football is about production. It's production-based. Sports is production-based, right?
Yes.
So if your unit is some crap, and you out here tweeting about whatever, that's a distraction, because what people are going to say, you need to focus more on what?
Football.
On your brand, getting your team ready on Sundays rather than be by tweeting about some stuff. That's the way people think. You know what I'm saying? But we always reprimand a player that's, if they're on social media doing whatever and they're playing like garbage, what do we say? You need to be worried about your skill set rather than being on social media. So, like, Rivera had an opportunity before this guy, like, before this blew up, right, to say, hey, Jack, yo, chill. Like, just don't, you don't have to be on social media. Like, you don't even got to do all that. You know what I mean? You
could
do
that. I mean, but then he would.
Because the players would get that. Like, players would get that same type of energy. Like, my thing is that you treat this coach differently than you, as to a certain point, I know, I get what you're saying, Will, but to a certain point, you treat this coach differently than you treat players. Because if a player came out and had all this stuff and they were distracted to the team, then they would be ostracized. They would be, Cam Newton is a quote unquote a distraction to a team.
But so
without views and whatever.
So I don't necessarily know if you can force a player. Here's why it's different from a coach and a player. I don't necessarily know if you could force a player off of Twitter or other social media platforms because, you know, players, you know, their contract, they have a union, it's collectively bargained.
That's true.
So,
fair.
You know,
fair point.
I mean, you can
there's you things can imply, around it. Yeah,
you could, there's things you could probably work around to try to exact some punishment from a player opposed to assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
So,
No, I actually have a comment on Instagram about this particular topic. The homie Wood said, "I think it has to become known that we don't all agree on bigger issues, but we might have a big effing job to do together. Hopefully, the players can go talk to Jack Del Rio if they need to sort some stuff out. This is a chance to learn and grow from something all around." I mean, you talk to your players. I mean, you know, to me, your job as a coach is a coach. So it is what it is. Like, that's what Jonathan Allen said. So
yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that there may be some players who agree with what he said. There may be some players who disagree with what he said. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that, you know, grown men, you should be able to say, hey, I don't necessarily agree with your perspective on this. Here's my perspective. And, you know, maybe you can change the person's their perspective on it. Probably you won't. You know, most people over 30, they're pretty stuck in their ways. So, you know, especially some people in positions of power. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just agree to disagree. Yeah. That's all.
Facts. On Twitter, the homie Steve Fox, tweeted that said, in terms of did Washington handle this, you know, situation correctly, he said, hell no, he needs to lose his job. He said racist.
See, that's the cancel culture thing.
Yeah, I don't want to say lose his job. I just, like, I think he should lose his job if, you know, he has another bad season.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If he has four first round draft picks who on the defensive line that don't produce and a first round linebacker you should lose your job.
I feel like the distraction thing is warranted. I guess the argument if you want to use distraction is that your unit hasn't produced, you may not have the focus on the right things. You know what I'm saying? Like, on whatever you deem is the right thing, but you know what I mean? You're not focused at the task at hand. You're more focused on what's your next tweet going to be.
I'm just saying that's the argument. I get the argument. I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, I don't think Jack Del Rio is coming up with a defensive game plan, you know, with his phone in his hand saying, "Ooh, I'm going to get this fire tweet off. They ain't ready for this one."
Man, you got to see the tweets, though, bro. He be thirsty.
That's why ready. That's what Twitter and other social media platforms do. They give voice to people who necessarily shouldn't be heard.
Go ahead, Ray.
Quick question, because we need to wrap up, but I'm going to ask you specifically, Will T. Do you think the cancel culture at least achieved one victory because he canceled his Twitter account?
No, I don't. I don't see it as a win or a loss, to be honest with you. I think it's more, this is just my perspective. I would like to know a person's unfiltered thoughts so then I know how to deal with you.
Yeah.
Right? Let me know who you really are, how you really perceive something, and then I can deal with you accordingly.
I would say you can get a gist. I don't think he's a racist. I don't really think in terms of that. But you get a gist of, like, what he is from, like, if you read. If you see some of his tweets. Go ahead. What you about to say, Ray?
No, I just said you can tell where he leans politically.
Yeah, you can. Again, you get a gist of it. That. Yeah, you can tell where he leans for real and what his beliefs are. But it's a fascinating topic. We can go long on this, but we gotta go to the next topic, and we gotta go to break. We'll talk about the NBA Finals. Actually, the Golden State Warriors won last night. They are up in the series 3-2, up on the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Will Lay, and we are part of Amp Pyre Media at amppyremedia.com. All right. After last night's Golden State Warriors victory over the Boston Celtics, 104-94, the Warriors are up 3-2 in the NBA Finals. Thoughts on the Game 5, Will T?
Went pretty much like I thought it would go. That's not being a braggart or anything, but it went how I thought it would go. I thought that Golden State did a great job with using Boston's aggressiveness sometimes on backdoor cuts. Just it may not have led to a direct pass, but it also it put pressure on the defense and those cuts from the other side. They were able to free guys up. One of the other things that I noticed that they did a good job on was also with the floor spacing and taking Robert Williams away from the paint so he'd be able to alter or block shots whenever Golden State did get an opportunity to go to the bucket. And then also three, Andrew Wiggins, man. Balled out 20 plus points, I think like 11 rebounds or something like
that. Definitely been the second best player for Golden State in the series.
If you can make the argument that through five games, because of Steph's game last night, through the five games that he's been and what he's done defensively on Tatum and Brown whenever he's been had the opportunity or the task of checking those two young elite ball players, that he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
On the defensive end and also on the offensive end. So, I predicted, my prediction was and still is Golden State in seven, and I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. Ray?
There's been one common criticism of the Boston Celtics throughout the course of this playoffs. It's been turnovers.
Yeah.
They had another 18 turnovers, starting out with Jason Tatum beginning the ball game with a turnover. The Warriors turn those turnovers into 22 points. You cannot beat the Golden State Warriors if you turn the ball over, especially on the road. Mm-hmm. And look at all the effort that Boston put in to make that comeback in the third quarter. It was awesome. But if you start the game with that energy, and also if you impose your will offensively, a.k.a. using your size or a la using your size, then I feel as though they'll be much more competitive throughout stretches of the game where they just seem to struggle. I love Jaylen Brown's ferocity. I love it. And the team needs to just continue to take that on. And of course, Marcus Smart is also a catalyst on both sides of the ball. But careless basketball, where is that coming from? And why isn't Udoka doing something to fix that? Every press conference, he's saying, we got to make adjustments so we can turn the ball over less. But they continue to turn the ball over double-digit times. The Golden State Warriors only had single-digit turnovers. And that's the difference in the game, if you ask me.
Yeah, I felt like one, Ray, you mentioned like the comeback and the work and in that third quarter, they had a lot of momentum and they were doing down the stretch until to me the changing of the game was Poole's half court shot. Like that three changed it switched momentum. Poole hitting that
momentum,
shot. It switched. Okay. And I'm just saying my opinion, because I remember when he hit that shot, I was like, oh man, like you went from being up two or even, being tied going into the fourth to being down one. After all that work, you're still down. You know what I mean? So I was like, in my mind, I was saying to myself, like, this could change the game. But on the flip side, Will mentioned, Wiggins. I thought Wiggins was tremendous throughout that game. And I also feel like the Celtics missed, like, a golden opportunity. Like, the Steph didn't play good. Like, you had off Steph. Like, this is the chance to actually beat them. You had off step. All you had to do is be effective offensively, and you win that game. Like you said, Ray, they didn't come in with the same passion, the same drive. And also, well, they probably did, but they played sloppy. Like, turning over the basketball against the Warriors team, a Warriors team is deadly, especially at home. And to play that type of basketball in a game, that's 2-2, and you need that game because – if you win against, if you win on Thursday, again, the game's on Thursday. If you win on Thursday in Boston, who wants to go to Golden State at Game 7? And that's a lot of pressure anywhere. But I just feel like Game 5, you wasted an opportunity. That's my big thing. Like, I feel like you wasted an opportunity because you got Steph off. Like, Steph was off. And you're not going to get that often. The way he's been shooting throughout this postseason, the way he's been shooting in this series, like, you got to take advantage of that. Like, he ain't hit a single three. Steph missed all of his threes. You got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, one question.
Go ahead, bro.
You were Boston in six, right?
Yeah, six.
Boston six. So you're out of there, right?
Yes. I mean, I still pick Boston. I mean, if I...
But, you know, we're technically going off our predictions.
All right, but Boston, if you lose, six, though, if Boston wins, then you're pretty much out of there.
I say Golden State in seven.
But say if Boston... No, you're right. I said Boston wins the series.
But you're out early.
Ray, you had it seven or six?
Ray had
I had Boston at seven.
Wait, are we doing a competition now?
I didn't know we were doing this.
I mean,
anytime you ask me for a prediction, I track my prediction.
I didn't know we were doing real cohort predictions.
I would think, you know, this is a sports podcast, right? Whenever you ask,
Ray T is about to jinx the Golden State Warriors because he is Fred Arrogance.
Yo, yeah, he is Rick Martell.
I just asked a question.
Let me tell you. Heterogens.
I'm just asking a question.
He asked a question, he said, Wole, so you're out.
I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, I didn't know we were doing
this. The first thing I asked was, you had Boston in six. You're right.
I didn't know we was going with that at first.
I just asked a question.
Then I ain't gonna lie to you, then I saw his African eyes. The way he was looking at me.
I just asked a question.
I was like, oh, he coming for my head, Poe?
I'm not coming for you. I like truth in.
No, I had him at six. I had him at six. I felt good at the third quarter, man. Like, but once I saw the beginning of that fourth, though, I was like, y'all playing sloppy. Like, I hate sloppy basketball. And like what Ray said, you can't be turning. This is the NBA Finals, man. And they've been playing the same way throughout, like turning over the basketball. But you're playing against a team like Golden State where they hit you with hammers because those. The three ball they can stroke with, like, pull Steph. You know, Steph wasn't making Clay. Clay was big down the stretch, hit threes. Wiggins. And Wiggins is just, like you said, Wiggins is playing all around, man. He's strapping. He rebounding. Like, look what he did in game four. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what he's bringing to this team. I think he was trying to say the argument that he could be, like, finals MVP. Is that what you were trying to say, yeah, basically? You know what they're trying to do. You're right. You can make the argument.
You can really make the real argument
and say that Wiggins has probably may have been, especially down the stretch, has been the more valuable MVP player. Yeah.
Especially coming off his performances in game.
The two big games.
Yeah.
You needed to, like, game Steph four gets all and game the. Five. Steph, don't get me wrong. Steph, to me, if it wasn't for that 43, like that 43, yeah. 40, 43, 45, like, they lose. Like, they need all of 43 from Steph, mm-hmm, right? But they did. Damn well needed all of that from Wiggins too. Those key offensive rebounds, like getting that 20. I think he had 20 and 8 or 20 and 15. Wild number.
15. 15 yeah. Rebounds.
So yeah. But
Well, let me ask one more question.
Go ahead.
Have either one of you guys like been following just like the story arc per se by ESPN when it comes to Boston through the last two rounds?
Like they haven't lost two games in a row?
No, I mean just like the narrative whenever, you know, after each game when it comes to Boston playing. It just seemed to me because it seems a little bit pro-Boston. Like whenever,
different. I think it's the opposite. But go ahead, though. I think it's the opposite.
No, I think it's a little bit. It's been like pro-Boston. Like whenever, you know, Milwaukee had a good game and Boston lost, it was because Boston didn't play well. Boston loses game four and five. It's because Boston didn't play well. It's not necessarily because Golden State, you know, anything that Golden State has done, you know, and even, excuse me, or even when Boston played Miami, right? It was always, you know, it wasn't, and from my perspective, it wasn't they were talking about because Boston didn't do this well instead of Miami did this exceedingly well on this night.
Well, I mean, you heard the game one, folks were saying Golden State collapsed. It wasn't a Boston win. You know what I mean? Like, you had folks say, and even Golden State would say it, like, we collapsed. Like, we didn't. Some folks in the media were saying that Golden State collapsed. It wasn't like Boston won that game. You know what I mean? They didn't do anything in the fourth quarter to win
folks
that game.
Folks in the media or folks at ESPN?
Oh, you're talking about ESPN in general?
Yes, their coverage.
Oh, well, listen, I don't, I'm going to lie to you. I don't watch ESPN's coverage. Right. I'll say I don't. I watch NBA TV. I changed it. I can't stand you know who.
Yeah. Ray, well, let me ask you this, Ray. Have you noticed that, or is it that's just something I'm picking up and I'm bugging?
Yeah, sorry, Will. I don't watch ESPN coverage either.
Okay. Yeah, man. I'm sure. Like, I go
on YouTube and watch NBA independent TV. Media folks, uh-huh. who, like Scoop Jackson and others, who they talk during the post game. They ask questions. I watch the pressers. I don't watch. I like Jalen, though. Don't get it twisted. I like Jalen Rose. Oh, yeah. I just don't watch it.
Yeah, I like Jalen, too. I just can't watch Stephen. No, I just can't watch Stephen A. Smith.
No, well.
Isn't him?
No, it's just that, like, I'll watch, like, some of the halftime, and I'll watch, you know, like, Scott Van Pelt's on, you know, usually he does the SC Sports Center.
I saw game one. With
yeah, and I just, like, I'll because I'm on.
Of course, yeah.
That channel,
yeah.
So I watch, you know, some of that. So, no, I thought maybe it was just me.
No, I just can't. I ain't gonna lie. I just can't. I try. I can't. So, let's go real quick. The Warriors, you know, with the Warriors winning game five, is this series over? Start with you, Will.
No, not at all. I think this will go seven. I fully believe that, you know, Boston will win game six. Well, no, I think Boston will win game six, and then we'll get back to Golden State for game seven. I think, you know, even though Klay Thompson has game six Klay.
Game six Klay.
You know, that's
that's wild. That's, you a game six Klay. You say game seven, but you game six Klay. That's crazy, bro.
Nah, but you know, I think, you know, that, you know, with it going back to Boston, I just think that those guys are be re-energized with these 2 days off, and they'll find a way to squeak out a victory against Golden State.
Right.
It's not over yet, but of course, can Golden State win? We all know they can. They have the experience factor on their side. They have the coaching experience on their side. So I wouldn't be shocked if Golden State were to celebrate at the TD Garden. Yeah, however, I don't think it's over because these Boston Celtics have been resilient all playoffs long. We thought they were done against Milwaukee, and they came back and won. Mm. So they got to prove to the world they can do it again, and I feel like they do have that confidence.
I think Golden State has all the momentum. I feel like Ray mentioned prior, turnovers, man. They gotta value that basketball a lot more. And they're two stars for them to beat. In my opinion, for them to beat Golden State Thursday night, them two dudes gotta play at a high level. Like, they can't go with shooting at a low percentage. They can't do that. Like, Jaylen Brown played like trash. Yesterday he did, and I love Jaylen Brown, but he played like trash yesterday. He can't have that type of outcome. I mean, that type of display Thursday night. You know, hopefully he feeds on the crowd or whatnot. Tatum has to stop turning the ball over. You know what I mean? Like, they got to be confident in their movement and confident in trying to score a bucket. And this is the prediction. I just feel like once you decide to call yourself a flopper and do flopping stuff, referees will look at you and stare you down. Like, the stuff you got. And like I said before, the stuff you got in the other game, because some of your flops were so obvious and the commentators were talking about it, I'm talking about Poole, like, because the commentators were talking about it during that game, they're going to pay attention to it even more in game six. So that stuff ain't going to fly. So he's going to have to – also, he's going to have to play well on the road. Like, this stuff just playing well at home against us in this series. Another series, he's been good everywhere. But in this series, he's going to have to step up for Golden State to win. Because I expect Klay to do something. Six, Klay. And I expect Steph to be better. Like, you know what I mean? So I expect those individuals to ball out. It's going to be the other guys. Actually, truth be told, I expect Wiggins to keep giving you hustle points. Because that's what he's doing. It's not about shooting the basketball, shooting the rock. He's giving you hustle effort. You know what I'm saying? So I expect those three individuals just to kind of be who they are. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think it's over, but I'll say this. It's a caveat. I'm like, if Boston want to take it to a game seven, Brown and Tatum got to be the real tandem. They got to be that real tandem. They can't be, oh, one dude carrying it. They got to be 1-2. So
Jordan Pippen type.
My Magic Kareem, but that's cool.
I mean, Jordan Pippen. I think
Shaq and Kobe.
That would more accurately reflect them because, you know, they're 2-3. You know,
I feel you. Yeah. You just can go with that.
I mean, nah. Listen, it's all good. I mean, you know.
I feel you. Or Ray Allen, Paul Pierce.
Two
Boston individuals. You know what I'm saying? Just saying.
I think you said the obvious things, but the guy who knows the future is me when it comes to this.
Hey, Ray, can you take us a break, dog?
Hey, yes, sir. It's part of our HBCU Corner segment. We'll play our interview with Howard University football coach Larry Scott is coming up after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Straight out of ATL. Got Young One chopping that thing, baby. Swiss Beats. Full surface. Come on.
Party in the hood, I might start. Underground, downtown, I might start. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock it. They ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit them where the chest at, hit them where the neck at. Show me where the wrist at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout it. You and me gon' ride over to the other side. Sign these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house. Ain't trying to kill no kid, I'ma turn it lights out. Money, then I'm kicking her out. I spit game to your wife, then we robbing your house. I blew that day that we gripping the screen. If you got it and I want it, I ain't calling your name. Just lay it down, boy, like I'm balling. See, just get your chest in your lap. In a white G-Wagon with my arm out the window, gripping a dog. Get it right, I got Houston on lock. I kid it right, I switch the lights every time I buy a drop, homie. You got Swiss on the beat, I gotta come.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of EmpireMedia.com. It's now time for HBCU Corner with Urban Sports Scene. I have the pleasure of introducing our next guest, who is a native of Sebring, Florida, and boasts a football resume that spans over two decades, dating back to a Letter Award-winning collegiate career during his playing days at the University of South Florida. Our guest coaching journey began at the high school level, where he would gain invaluable experience that preceded a lengthy climb through the coaching ranks, including successful stints at his alma mater, South Florida, University of Miami, Tennessee, and the University of Florida. Over the years, our guest served in many capacities, including graduate assistant, offensive line coach, running backs coach, tight ends coach, and interim head coach during his time with Miami. Our guest has coached in many big games and has been instrumental in the development of countless young athletes. He's currently the head coach at Howard University, the Howard University, where he just put his stamp on the highest ranked recruiting class in program history. Welcome to HBCU Corner, Coach Larry Scott. What's happening, brother?
Much, brother, man. Pleasure to be on here. I appreciate the great introduction, and that's pretty good. I love it, brother. That was good stuff.
Yeah, Ray, we call Ray the GOAT. Ray's the GOAT in introductions.
I sold you short, though. Man, you got a long resume. I said, I don't know how much I can put in there.
You know, Ray, we'll say this to you. My homegirl who went to Howard, she would say it's the HU, like the HU.
Yeah, I didn't want to mess that up either. Much respect.
I've learned that. It is the HU.
Must be a special place, though. You left Florida after all those years to come to D.C. where the weather is iffy.
Absolutely. So, having me in stuff. A little bit.
So, Coach, you know, Ray and I, we like to talk about homecomings. We love talking about homecomings. It's the truth. But Howard is like the mecca of HBCU homecomings. Actually, you could say it's the mecca of homecomings, period. Do you use Howard's homecoming as a recruiting tool?
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, man, you're gonna take every powerful resource that you have available to you to sell the product that you have and put it on the table. Now, here's the object. We haven't experienced that. I haven't experienced what a Howard true homecoming is you know, since I've gotten here. I've seen the videos. I've heard, you know, everybody talk about it. I mean, I've watched it from a distance and see all the videos and everything. And then you get here, and I haven't had one opportunity yet to really feel the depth of what it is to be a part of a Howard homecoming. So at the end of the day, absolutely we do. Even without not knowing what that truly feels like myself, we grab a hold of every powerful resource and cultural experience that we can build and offer a young man and his family at Howard University. And we put it all on the table because we're recruiting hard. We're going after the very best, and we're using the very best of who we are and what we're all about to attract the best talent that we can.
So Coach Howard has a bunch of famous alum to walk through those doors. Who is your favorite, if you met one or whatnot, but who is your favorite famous Howard alum?
Man, it's so hard, right? Because when you're so culturally diverse and you grew up watching the Cosby Show, you know what I mean? You see Felicia and Shia just walking on the yard back and forth from lunch. It's like, it's a different deal. That like Felicia was like everybody's mom, right? Like
exactly.
The whole world's mom. Everybody wanted Felicia Rashad to be their mother. You know, mom, why can't you be more like, you know what I mean? Why you can't be more like her?
Claire Huss.
Type of deal. So, Claire Huss. Why can't you be more like Claire? Come on, mom. What you doing? You know, so, she is, but, you got Chadwick Boseman who, ultimately, God bless his soul and may rest in peace, you know. For us, it was just more a bit more of a closer generation to see the talent that he had and the power that he could display on screen, and to know that his training, his formal training and you know, who he became was built right at Howard, is a great thing too. But you can be walking around Howard's campus, man, and see, you know, various people at any point in time taking pictures or just touring the campus or down in the valley or just wanting to see. And it's the who's of who at any point in day, at any point in time. So it's a special place. And you feel that magic and you feel that power every day you park on campus and you walk across, you know, the sidewalk by the stadium to my office. You feel like you pinch yourself and you go, man, you know, this is a special place, and we're going to be part of building something really strong and powerful. And we take great pride in that and really look forward to continuing to build this program to the same recognition and same brand recognition as the university itself. Howard football sits at the top right there with it.
So I love the Claire Huxtable reference. You just aged yourself, by the way, because there's some younger guys who'll be watching like, who? You know what I'm saying? But that's dope. And based on what you're saying, of course, Howard, it kind of sells itself. I'm sure that recruiting in ways is easy because Howard, like Wole said, is the mecca of HBCU, so to speak. However, of course, you still have to recruit. You still got to go make a pitch. You still got to develop relationships. What has that process been like? And is there any players? I know you love all your players, but who can you shout out and who are you looking to rely on this upcoming season?
I'll tell you what, man, the one thing that this place offers you an opportunity to be is to be holistic in everything that you do. The ball and academics and social awareness and community service and all those things aren't pulled apart. They're all a part of. And that's the one thing that we get to do here in just building not only just winners on the field, but winners off the field, winners in life, and just help them make the connections as to becoming the man that you want to be, the competitor you want to be. You don't pick and choose when that is. It just becomes a part of your DNA. It becomes a part of who you are. No matter what you choose to commit yourself to and what you're choosing to do, you choose to win. And then what's important now? That's what win is. What's important now? So how do I narrow my focus, single in my focus, dig in, roll my sleeves up, you know, put my hands in the mud and go to work on trying to be the very best that I can. So that's the thing that's different here that we get a chance to, do is sell the program through football and through academics holistically, which is, there's not a lot of places in America that you can really, that all adds up, you know? So, you know, at the end of the day, we get every one of our young men to buy into that and to believe in that. And so I'm excited to watch a lot of them. We're still a young team, and a lot of the guys that have bought in have obviously improved dramatically in the weight room, on the field, you know, skill, just football, football intelligence, football 101, learning the game, how to play the game, not just the game of football, but how to play it from a technique and fundamental standpoint and all those things. So those guys have improved, that have bought in. And then we've been out, obviously, over the past two recruiting classes, added a lot of young talent. Speed, size, football, guys that come from football-loving areas. So I'm excited really just to see how this young team starts to respond to actually having our first full cycle of a program. You know, it was all chopped up with COVID. When I first took the job, I got it in February, March, the world imploded and wasn't around. We did everything virtually all the way up until January. We had all kind of COVID breaks and stops because of COVID testing protocols and different things like that. So we stopped beyond for 5 days, have to stop for 14 days, beyond for another 5 days, and then be off for another 14-day quarantine. So it was choppy to say the least. And then we had to send them home again because it was summer break. Right. And we don't do the full summer allocation. We do half summer. So had to send them home for half the summer again. And then we bring them back and we try to get ready for a season. But meanwhile, we have a year and a half to almost 2 years of underdeveloped players and kids, mentally and physically. So we strapped it up, didn't make no excuses, did the best with what we had, and then went out and put out a good product that I saw steadily improve day after day after day. Small dubs is what we call them, small wins, man. Take the small dubs, don't worry about the big ones, because when we get to the point where they take care of themselves, that'll be the expectation and standard. It's not going to be a matter of will we win, it'll be, and can we win? It'll be when we win, whether that's in the beginning of the game or in the end of the game. We've been built the right way. We've been tried by the fire, and sometimes the fire gets hot, but man, growth is pain. With growth comes pain. So we took our lumps and did what we had to do. And now we've gotten to a point where we've had a full cycle, full spring football, a full offseason of accountability, them understanding what true accountability means to each other, to the program, coach to coach, player to coach, and everyone. So we finally feel like we're nestled into a space where guys see the big picture, and it's just not what happens on Saturdays, knowing what's happened on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, well before you get to playing the game. And what we do is just a byproduct. The game is a byproduct of who we're building during the week, and they're finally buying into that and getting it. So I'm excited to watch all of them, but you know, obviously everything flows around the play of the quarterback, so we're really excited to see his growth, and having just some classroom instruction, some football 101, getting comfortable with receivers, getting comfortable with calls and audibles and different things like that that we do in our system, because we're very much so a pro system. I want to develop guys that when they come in and have a job interview with, you know, an NFL scout or NFL coach, they can get on the board, they can talk football top to bottom. So we're teaching it and coming about it from a different way as well. We really want to develop pros in everything that we do. So now, another day, he's had a year in the classroom and had a year of understanding, you know, football through our eyes and through the eyes of the system and how it all works from top to bottom, from protections to run checks to coverages and all of those different things, and you know, changing up routes versus coverages. We're really excited to see his growth, and he had a really good spring. He's continuing to study and ask questions now, because everything flows through him. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm excited to see Darian Brokenborough, a guy that we saw has changed his body, changed his mindset and mentality. You know, he's tough, he's rugged. He has an edge about himself, and he's a guy that I believe will have an opportunity to play in a lot more football post-Howard. So excited to see him play on defense and excited to see our quarterback development, but also excited about all of our really young, talented football players that are competitive, that have stepped in, that they're learning, and they're excited to play at Howard and ingesting that pride in what it means to be a football player at Howard, not just go to Howard, but to have pride in playing football at Howard.
Coach, I can already see why Nick Saban wanted you on his staff. Like, you are, I see why. Like, you know everything about football. Like, the details of being a coach, you have it down pat. Like, you're definitely thorough in terms of what you are looking for and what you want to see out of your kids. But for this program, you mentioned, like, obviously the challenges of what COVID has done with the program and trying to actually put your hold on it and what you want to build, but it seems like you're building it anyway and you're doing a great job at it. What are some of your short-term goals for this team and your program at Howard University?
Oh, I mean, I tell you, the number one goal is to always continue to graduate our guys on time. You know, graduate, understand the value of why you chose Howard, and it's deeper than just playing football. And it's truly about the next 40 and 50 years of your life. So, because when you're able to put, you know, your priorities in order and in line, football is one of those things that just take care of itself, because football becomes a byproduct of just who you are as a person. You know, some of the best football players know how to work year round. They know how to take care of their bodies. They know how to work. They know how to put the commitment in and the dedication. Well, if you got your priorities aligned, everything else seems to just fall in order and just falls in line. So I want to make sure we always put the horse before the cart, not the cart before the horse. So in everything that we do, we talk, again, small dubs and value, but we want to graduate our players. We want to continue to help them understand that this is bigger than just the opportunity to play. You can play anywhere in America, but you can't go to school anywhere in America. You're at Howard. So take great pride in that. That's what we want to continue to do in the short form, make sure we're doing that. And then we want to make sure we continue to make the connection for them in life. Here's what most young people are missing. They miss the connections. They just see all of the outcomes because everything now for them is just so visual and it's instant. So they forget about the step-by-step process that it takes to get to what you actually see. So just to continue to have them understand the small day-by-day steps of progress and what it really means. And you do that, you know, two different constructs, whether that's a positive, way of going about it. Everything is positive, but it has to be constructed in a way that doesn't tear people down, but it uplifts and builds people. So as long as we can continue to see that day-by-day process in young people that start to make better choices, make better decisions in how they prepare. We've been implementing a lot of sports science things here. I want to see a guy that, hey, we've been all over you about you can't sleep 4.5 to 5 hours a night and develop the way physically that you want to. And we started to see that turn, and now they're sleeping 6.5, 7, 8 hours a night because they're believing in the power of sleep. You know, so now we're starting to see the weight gains. You can't be 170-pound, 168-pound, 169-pound corner for us in our system. No, we need you to be 185, 190 pounds. And now that guy comes in, and then 6 weeks later, he went from 170 to 181. You're like, now he's starting to get it and understand the nutrition part of it, and how to eat and what to eat and sleep and rest and hydration and strength training. So just a small dub it takes to get these kids to understand connection and tying them to the process, which is something they don't have anymore. They just want instant gratification and instant success. But they don't want to go through the daily process of getting to those visuals that they see other people that they want to go after. So, man, if we can continue to make those small dubs and continue to make those connections for these young people and graduate them, we're going to have success. And the success doesn't worry me. Winning games doesn't worry me. It's are we making a day-by-day connection to building men and building people, which those winners championships.
So, Coach, Wole mentioned the job offer that you had. Clearly, based on all that you're telling us, you're just giving us a wealth of knowledge and you have that experience. But what we want to know, and this is why we do this, is why an HBCU, and what's it like coaching at an HBCU for you?
I think, man, if you wake up every day and you choose your why, right? Why do I do what I do? It don't matter whether you're doing it. Jones Junior High, the non-school or the University of Florida or Howard University. You know what? It really doesn't matter. If your mission and your why is to develop and build young people, you don't care where you get an opportunity to do it. I'm just fortunate that I get a chance to do it and had an opportunity to choose to do it at Howard University, which obviously, like we talked about a little bit, speaks for itself, the power that it has, the brand recognition that it has. And they haven't been very successful in the sports world, in the sports realm, and especially football. Get it? But that's also an exciting thing too. That's an exciting time to be able to say, hey, we're going to take this piece of clay, man, and we're going to mold it. We have a special brand. We have things that we can stand on the shoulders of, but now it's time for us to hold our weight, for us to pull our end of the bargain. And for young men and everybody that's been a part of and affiliated with Howard to see football as an asset, not just a liability. But, you know, as an asset that can be a major contributor to the brand that is Howard and what it is in the bigger picture of things. We got a motto around that we talk about right now. And it's one Howard. Why can't Howard football be synonymous with the greatness that is Howard? Why can't everything be synonymous with greatness? That's what Stanford does. That's what Duke does. That's what all these major academic institutions around America do. They have value in their sports programs and stuff as well. So why can't we? So it's an exciting time to want to be a part of building something and building a legacy, but through your why, through naturally who you are, not trying to force something, not trying to be something really that it's not. So it was a unique opportunity for me to really just tap into truly why I do what I do. And then to have an awesome opportunity to do it with, you know, young men that look and sound like me and look and sound like my son on a daily basis and let them know that, you know, you can choose an HBCU and be great. You can choose an HBCU and go to the National Football League. You can choose an HBCU and get the development and training that you need to be the prospect and the player that you know you were charged to be. Because at the end of the way, ain't nobody stepping in what front of God got for you anyway. So at the end of the day, just tap into the power source that is the university and the people that are around. Ain't got nothing to do with buildings. I've never seen a building build a player. Never seen one. Never seen. Everybody has a 45-pound weight. It may one that may have a big gator stamped on it. The other one may just be a black 45-pound plate. But you know what? It weighs 45 pounds. And if you lift it 10 times, it's going to do the same thing to your body as long as you're eating and sleeping and doing the things you need to do. So don't buy into the mystery that you got to have all of these pretty things and these bells and whistles. And at the end of the day, if you're about to work, if you have a goal, you're going to tap into and believe in the people that are around you to help you to that goal. You can. And we can at HBCUs. And that's why it was important for me to be a part of this great brand, to be a part of just, you know, coaching and developing young men, and then to be a part of something that gives you an opportunity to stamp it and build it. And that's what we want to do.
So true, so true. You were answering my question, so I'm going to go backwards a little bit, Coach. Ray mentioned in the when he introduced you that, you know, you're a native of Florida. You've done a lot of coaching in Florida, like Ray mentioned. It's well known that Florida has a bunch of great athletes. You know, when I'm growing up, I'm aging myself, I guess. Like Steve Spurrier and the Florida Gators, they had nothing but like fast dudes. Miami, you know what I'm saying, with the U. This is after Jimmy Johnson. It was Eric. I forgot his name, his last name. But Erickson, I think Erickson was his last name. Coach Erickson. Dennis Erickson. With the U, nothing but athletes. How important is Florida for your recruiting process?
Man, I think it's important, but it's important because of being able to build the powerful relationships that I have in the state. You know, and being able to truly rely on high school coaches that do a tremendous job, high school administrators that do a tremendous job, community leaders and different things in different areas that I've been able to build relationships with that I can tap into to make sure we deliver the very best product we can to Howard. Because Howard is a different profile now. You got Washington, D.C. That's basically an education within itself of how to maneuver, navigate, live in D.C. You have Howard, which comes with a high academic profile, high standards and expectations. So being able to tap into people that you know and trust, that when you set out the profile of what it is that you have to have and what you're looking for, that can come have success. Sure, you can just come to Florida and grab kids, but if you're setting them up for failure, that then the program fails and they fail. So you can't, the greed of just recruiting and stacking talent can't be the focus. You know, the focus has to be, are we getting the right people, the right guys, and using the right relationships to do that and people that we trust. Obviously, you feel like you're going to have a chance to come to Florida and go to Florida and pick up guys that love football. They get a year to play it year round there, and 7-on-7s all year round. They're constantly developing. They love track, so they're all speed trained. They're all skill trained because they do it on a daily basis and a yearly basis because of, you know, obviously the weather conditions and different things that are conducive to those guys continuing to train. But you have guys that, you know, value their education, understand what it means to go to school and value the opportunity to receive a degree and do all of those type of things too, because we have to have guys that understand that going to school and your academics is important. It's critical to being a student athlete here at Howard. So at the end of the day, it's just about doing it the right way. But obviously, you know, it's a great resource for us. We've been able to tap in and be able to go in and beat some people in recruiting that they wouldn't think that we would have an opportunity to, because again, we do have a great product to sell. So when you come to the state of Florida and you find guys that fit the right profile, they love football, they're extenuating your talent, but they also value their degree and the opportunity to go to school in the nation's capital and be a Howard Bison. It's all a part of it. So yeah, it's a major resource for us. It's a pretty important area, but in the end, we want to make sure we're taking care of home too, the DMV area, and making sure we cover that and don't leave no stones unturned in that area, because that's where our success is, having homegrown guys and homegrown families and people that buy tickets and all those type of things too, in the seats as well. So it's a holistic approach for us through the Carolinas, Texas, Florida. Actually, you know, our brand allows us to go nationwide. We just have to really streamline and put the crosshairs where we want and where we need to make sure we're getting everybody that fits the correct profile to have success at Howard.
So true. You're right. Like the DMV does have a boatload of talent. Ray and I, we grew up here, so we've seen
we're not the football powerhouse, you know, that Florida is, but There's some talent though around here, and it don't matter where you're from, right? You coach Kyle Pitts, that's in Ohio. He from Philly. You know what I'm saying? So hey, it don't matter where you're from, but
yeah, no doubt.
We love our home, no dog. Doubt. Born yeah, in DC, I hope, raised I
hope,
in
I hope, I hope some of the players that are from the DMV have shown you around, you know, like Mumbo Sauce, and showing you like some go-go music. So you know, you got a gist of like the DMV.
Culture. I'm immersed at this point in time, brother. I got my New Balance. I'm good. I'm rocking the New Balance. I'm doing the whole deal. I'm fully immersed in acclimate.
If they're eating right, they sleeping, then they're not eating mumbo sauce. They're
not
partying.
True. That's hey, facts. Man, you're right, though.
Keep them focused.
Hey, but you know what? Hey. The mumbo sauce is the spice of life. Sometimes I'm going to have a wing or two. I'm going to throw some sauce on them now.
And look, he's been baptized, right? This is what's up. He's been baptized. I love it.
much success. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for being on HBCU Corner. Is there anything you like to add?
No, man, I appreciate you guys and continue support. And we got a big challenge coming out for us this year, but I think our young football team is excited about what we've been doing and what we've been changing. And what we want to continue to do is continue to build a bridge to the community around the DMV and get everybody out to support and get everybody excited. We have a lot of really big changes coming down the pipe for us and a lot of exciting things that I think are going to continue to just add to the notoriety that is the brand of Howard. And we start playing really good football around here. I think everybody it'll galvanize our community and give something to everybody. To be refocused around what Chocolate City truly is and DC and getting back on campus and being a part of the culture and a part of the brand and give something for everybody to just have some pride in, man, and be excited about during football season. And that's what we want to get reestablished and done here is that bridge to also to the community, great community of Washington, DC and the DMV area.
Well, I believe that I'm not going to speak for Ray and I that, you know, you have fans here, man. We appreciate you. We're going to definitely be rooting for you.
I appreciate it, man. We need it all. We need all the support we can get, baby. I appreciate you guys having me on and look forward to some future conversations.
Oh, definitely. All right. Thanks again. Thanks for being on. We appreciate you.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well, and check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Hey, thank you all for listening. Thanks for Coach Scott for being on. Appreciate everybody. Keep tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yeti deuces. A mega. Do me a favor, brother. Lead us out, big homie.